5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back to Ruthless Aggression. We had a hell of a WrestleMania, two nights in Dallas. Had to be one of the best WrestleManias in at least 6 or 7 years. I'm Pierce, back and fully back and fully recalibrated after Dallas. I'm joined by Rob and Chris. These two will handle the wrestling from 2006 in a separate episode that'll drop later on this week. So right now, all you're getting from us is WrestleMania and the fallout from Mania, which hasn't really materialized just yet, but we feel like we kind of know the roads we're going on for some of these superstars, some of these matches coming out of Mania. First off, before I even talk about my week in Mania, how did y'all enjoy it? You know, from the comfort of y'all own homes, because, you know, from the feedback I was seeing, which, by the way, Jerry World, wonderful stadium, improve your Wi-Fi. What I was seeing when I was able to get on to Twitter is a lot of people, once you get past the bullshit matches, you know, whatever, a lot of people really enjoyed this Mania. There was a lot of fan service for people. I saw some folks popping in. I mean, you usually get folks popping in for Mania, but, you know, folks popping in with excitedness this year. And, you know, WWE delivered. They didn't skimp on the pageantry. They didn't skimp on the big moments. For me, it felt like what a WrestleMania should feel like. What about y'all watching from home?
Yeah, that's kind of my takeaway, too. Like, I was down on it going into the weekend, kind of talked about it. Like, there were only 4 or 5 matches between the two nights I was really looking forward to. And, like, credit to them, they did a really good job, especially night one. Like, night one kind of felt like a classic, like, this is what WrestleMania should be. And then night two, I think, was still good. But this is, like, this is what 2022 WWE can be. If they just kind of lean, and that's the thing they did all weekend too, is they kind of just leaned into everything. They were just trying to kind of appeal to the people who were there instead of trying to do this wide ranging thing where they appeal to everyone, and they got rewarded for it. Cause yeah, it was a really good show both nights. You know, I liked watching it at home. Obviously it was nice to not have to be in that giant ass building, but just, yeah, really, really solid weekend for them. And, you know, interested in seeing with these stadium shows, they got 3 more this year. Really interested in seeing if they're going to make the stadium shows feel like a bigger deal. You know,
the 3 are Money in the Bank, SummerSlam, and the UK show, correct?
Yes, and then probably another Saudi show.
I was going to say, do they have a Saudi show? But I feel like they do 2 a year.
Yeah, probably one in the fall. But, yeah, I mean,
damn, that was the 3rd stadium show they've done so far this year.
Yeah, it's crazy.
God damn.
But, yeah, I mean, to, like, especially coming out of the Royal Rumble where, you know, that's an event that a lot of people tune into, and I think a lot of people are down on it. I was down on it. But, like, to bounce back with one of your biggest show, your Super Bowl, to actually have it be good. And I saw people who I know don't watch the weekly stuff and really don't follow the product closely, and they're like, yeah, I mean, this is a fun show. I'm glad I tuned in. And that's what WrestleMania should be.
Yeah, I mean, all of you both hit the nails on the head. The pageantry was really something that I think that was absent from Mania for a little while. They did what they could last year, but I think that was mostly just the fascination with the fact that it was the first big show with a crowd in God knows how long up until then. But this one, and I mean, SummerSlam felt like a big deal, obviously. But it's not, SummerSlam is not WrestleMania.
No.
So they went all out here. I could tell right from the start when they brought out the Cowboy Cheerleaders for a performance at the start of the show that, you know, they were going full pageantry with it. That's, again, that's something that Mania needs. And because it's not your average wrestling show. It's not your average wrestling pay-per-view. It's this big extravaganza, so you need to make it feel that way. And the whole weekend, I think that they were able to pull that feeling and that aura off.
Yeah, and, you know, we'll get more into it specifically, but, like, the celebrity involvement, for as much as people complain, you can't complain about that anymore. These celebrities really get in there and, you know, go train, and it's not like, you know, having Snooki there. It's like...
Snooki did well.
That, too.
But yeah, like, right. Like, people shit on Snooki. Snooki did really well.
And because...
I think she tried to do a little too much.
But she did well.
Yeah.
She did fine. But, I mean, but, I don't really have any issue with that.
Yeah.
I think people are just too harsh on celebrities because they're gatekeepers.
Yeah, but that's essentially what it is. And some of these celebrities, you forget, like, some of these celebrities, whatever world they're doing, they do their own stunts. I mean, granted, like, we're talking about Snooki and Maria Menounos here, but, like, we're also talking about Johnny Knoxville and Pat McAfee, which we'll talk about later on, deeper in the show. But to the pageantry point, I was at the last two WrestleManias where they were full crowds.
Mm-hmm.
And the pageantry... it's there to an extent, but not like it was for this. Like, they really wanted to sell home the most stupendous WrestleMania in history. And, you know, it felt like that. And, you know, first off, like, Jerry World, I'm going back to you. I really want to go football season to watch my Bears get tore up. That would be exciting. But good Lord, that is the best stadium that I've been to so far. I'm eager to check out SoFi, but I feel like if I go to SoFi, SoFi will feel like an imitation of AT&T Stadium. It's like an executive board on every level. The outside is just like a real nice party kick it area. The atmosphere was there. Like, there was a buzz, you know, heading into the building that might have been present for 34, but definitely wasn't there for 35. People were just really excited to, you know, just be back, full crowds. There wasn't restrictions, which probably should have been, but, you know, to each their own. I didn't follow them, so I'd feel like a hypocrite if I sit up here on my soapbox, you know. The vibe was just there. And, you know, transitioning to the week before we get to the shows, it was a really fun week. Like, Dallas is a good city to go around and drive around to get where you need to be. It didn't really take us too long, you know, going from GCW. GCW was right behind the Cotton Bowl, you know, to get to our Airbnb. WrestleCon wasn't far away, which wasn't far away from Access. I'll start with WrestleCon. And, you know, again, like, this was my brother's first Mania. So, like, for me, it was a fun WrestleMania. I thoroughly enjoyed it. But, like, for me, it was getting to enjoy that with my brother. And, you know, even from, like, when you started Wale Mania and, you know, you finally figure out, oh, yeah, no, this is where we need to be versus this is where everybody else is. And then, you know, you run into folks like Gigi. And actually, no, like, Gigi and Trevor Lee. I always fucking call Cameron Grimes Trevor Lee. That's just how it is. Like, you know, I remember seeing them two specifically with my brother in the independent wrestling scene a couple years back. And I remember looking at Cameron Grimes and being like, yo, when this motherfucker gets to the show, he is so entertaining and can really just turn lemon into lemonade. He's going to be special. And, you know, to, you know, be able to run into him and tell him that and you know, there's a look on a lot of folks' faces that's just like, we don't get that a lot. We don't get that affirmation that, like, yo, we've seen your work. you've been kicking ass. We proud of you. Keep pushing. Keep going. You know, he was very humble. Gigi was very humble. Carmelo Hayes was extremely humble. And, you know, that's a dude that's going to go very fucking far in professional wrestling. If he stays on the right path and continues going, that man's going to go very fucking far because he's humble. He's as nice as it seems. But when you flip that switch and he's on TV, he's money, you know. So that was Wale Mania was really fun. By the way, Jade is just as gorgeous in person as on TV, salivating from the VIP. Wale Mania was amazing. Shout out to Wale for always doing a party for the culture and us in professional wrestling. It's always fun. It's always fun to see folks come out to enjoy it. Wrestlers, folks within the circle to enjoy it. It was really fun. WrestleCon, you know, it's WrestleCon such an interesting thing because you go and, you know, you get to meet kind of virtually everybody from different generations. Even now, you know. And my brother said it best, like, yo, it's just folks hustling. Like, you really get to see the hustle of professional wrestlers when you go to these events, and like there's 200 or something fucking tables. Big shout out to Sean Waltman, X-Pac. You know, I'm the person that, like, you know, even when I go to like Wally Mania or WrestleCon or just like any of these sets and I run into pro wrestlers, I don't like to fanboy. I don't like to, you know, try to be all up in their shit and take pictures or whatever. I'm more so of like, yo, if I got a quick moment, let me tell you why you're important to me. Thank you so much. Dap it up. Keep it moving. I talk ad nauseum about SummerSlam 95 and how that was one of the first tapes that, you know, I just watched back and forth. And the very first match on that card is the 1-2-3 Kid versus Hakushi. And so 1-2-3 Kid's music is the first thing that I hear. Once you get off of Vince and Jerry Lawler chopping up the pay-per-view, first thing you hear is 1-2-3. So, like, yo, it was very important for me to just, you know, go up to X-Pac and just be like, yo, you know, you played a major role in making me a wrestling fan. And this dude was just like, started naming the fucking card. And he's like, yeah, I wrestled Hakushi. You know, Triple H and Bob Holly was the next match. You talked about fucking the Body Dottas and pat on the back. Fuck, I'm forgetting his goddamn name. But it was just like, yo, like, the fact that you got the memory for that and then, you know, be very appreciative and, you know, nice enough to just to ask me the name is very cool. Like, that's the special part of WrestleCon. Not even getting to, like, take pictures with your favorite wrestlers or meet Rikishi or Scott Steiner or whoever. It's that. So I always encourage folks, like, if you go to WrestleMania, first off, don't be a mark. But then also, don't stop yourself from giving these wrestlers past and present and really future their flowers. Because you don't know, like, how much that means to them. And it means so much more than just going and think, you know, I saw Ricochet post on Twitter or IG leading up to the week. You know, if you run into me, if you see me, say hi. You know, if you want to ask for a picture, dope. I love that. Don't, you know, follow me in my hotel. Don't follow me in the airport. Like, the simple shit.
Yeah.
So I always, like, tell people, like, you know, definitely, you know, don't be afraid to give people their flowers and tell the people, you know, how proud you are of them and how great the work they're doing. But, yeah, don't be a dick with it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And, you know, I didn't go to WrestleCon when I went to Mania. We just did Access and TakeOver and all the WWE stuff. Next time, I would probably go, you know, because it does seem pretty cool. And actually, like, WrestleCon was one of the non-WWE shows I watched last week. And it was a pretty good show, too. I don't know if you stuck around for that.
Yeah, the only WrestleCon show that I popped into was the one that was associated with my convention time. And so that was Ziggy Dice's Trouble in Paradise. It was only there for a minute. So I heard the Mark Hitchcock Memorial Super Show was really good.
Yeah.
Thatcher and Suzuki?
Thatcher and Tomohiro Ishii and
Ishii, that's right.
Biff and Suzuki. Oni Lorcan and Suzuki, yeah.
Oni Lorcan and Suzuki, yeah. I heard those two matches were fire. I was more so at GCW. Spring Break was really good. Joey Janela faced X-Pac And he came out in the Razor gear, and I don't understand why Joey Janela is not a top heel anywhere. He's a, when he leans into the heel, like, I know they had him doing the Sonny Kiss shit in AEW. Please, don't ever do that shit again. Just keep Joey Janela as an asshole, because he gets it. He gets what it takes to be a heel. You mentioned Access. What I really liked about Access this year is that, you know how you go to Access and you pay the 60, you pay the fine to get an Access, but then you also have to pay on top for all the other shit. Well, since we don't have the big space, or, you know, because of COVID, they're not doing all the stuff they usually do for Access. It's a lot more scaled down this year. You definitely get the Superstore that, you know, we saw in Vegas for SummerSlam. It's definitely there. But then you also have they had the panels going on, the podcast panels. That was in a separate room, I believe. You had the meet and greets with superstars. You could, you know, call your own match. I remember doing that for, like, the MLB All-Star Game in, like, 2003. That's always cool. They had this big museum set for The Undertaker, which was really dope. You know, very good picture opportunities, and it was very cool, very well done. So that was cool about Access. And, you know, not having to pay 60, just 10. And then you pay on top of that for, you know, whatever you want to do inside. Like, that's how the model should be. I hope they keep that going forward. You know, when they're able to have a bigger, like, more convention-like thing. But, yeah, I don't think there's much more of the week. I know there were some really good, like, Bloodsport was really good. I really enjoyed watching Wheeler Yuta do his thing this week. Wheeler Yuta kicked ass. Blake Christian kicked so much ass. Trey Baxter, he just was in NXT. So hopefully he gets scooped up very soon, or even comes back to WWE, because he wrestled a hell of a match against AR Fox. He stole that weekend. Mox was wonderful this past weekend. AJ Gray and Mox had a hell of a semi-main event for spring break. It was a really, really dope weekend, really great weekend. And it was wonderful to get to experience with my brother. You know, it was absolutely wonderful. We'll transition to the main show. I don't know if we, like, really care to focus on NXT, because, listen, Braun didn't win the title at Stand and Deliver, but then he won it a couple nights back, a couple nights later on Raw. Okay, cool. Walter B. LA Knight, he's now on SmackDown with Ludwig.
Yep. Yes.
Ludwig. Who's Ludwig, you ask? It's Marcel Barthel. Mandy Rose retained. Ho-hum. Reyna Gonzalez and Dakota Kai won the tag titles, and then they on the pre-show. And then they lost them back, and then we see Reyna Gonzalez on Friday, but as Reyna Rodriguez. So that's that. Did anything from Stand and Deliver had fucking significance? Ciampa lost to Tony D.
Grimes won the North American title. I guess that's the biggest
Grimes
thing.
Won the
Cameron Grimes title. Won the North American title. In a hell of a match, by the way.
Yeah, that was a genuine surprise to me.
I figured, because Carmelo Hayes is next. He's going to have the NXT championship sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
Cameron Grimes really has been fighting for that strap and clawing for it, you know, kind of in the way that a babyface should. So, you know, if he's not for long in NXT, which I don't think there's much of, I think his year starts now, then, yeah, go ahead and give him the North American title. And then the tag titles don't even fucking matter anymore, because you had MSK win, and then you fired one of MSK 3 days later.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, that match is worth watching, though, just because the Creed brothers spend the first 5 minutes just throwing everyone around. The crowd doesn't know how to react to it.
Yeah. But, where the hell is Grizzled Young Veterans?
They're there. They're just kind of in the back.
No, where they need to be. Monday Night Raw.
Oh, absolutely.
That's where they need to be.
There's a lot of people still there that should not be there anymore.
Yeah.
There was nothing really of consequence from Stand and Deliver. It was definitely just a show, and then they pretty much just, like, I don't want to say they undid everything, it but they did a lot fucking of show. Just weird. They've done a lot of weird stuff with NXT
lately that is just not really hitting.
Yeah, and you know, like, I get Braun losing and then winning on Raw where significantly more people are watching, but like, don't do the match in the first place.
Did they even gain anything in viewership?
No, so it's like,
I don't know, I think
it was the numbers right around where it has been. So, like,
then, like, why did you, I mean, couldn't you have just had him win and then just had him retain?
Yeah, exactly.
And then the Raquel and Dakota stuff just was incredibly stupid. I don't know what any of that...
Because the winners of the damn Dusty didn't even get the tag title shot that they were promised.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and they just had Wendy show up and just kind of be okay with everything. It's just very, very silly.
Yeah, I mean, and we've talked about this. We don't need to really get into it too much here, but they're getting to the point where they're going to have to make a decision on Dakota because of her just being there.
Well, she has the NXT Women's title match on Tuesday. Yeah. She shouldn't win. And if she doesn't, then she's probably getting shut away.
Yeah.
But if she does win, then I have no idea.
Yeah, so.
I genuinely have no idea anymore. But, I mean, I don't really, like I said, I don't really have an idea of anything that they're doing really now. But, yeah, I mean, I just don't know. And yeah. I know they're doing a gauntlet match to crown the new tag champs on Tuesday.
Yeah, it should be good.
Which should be fun.
Call my Charlie girl up. That's all I gotta say.
Yes.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, and I mean, Io and Kaylee were not referenced or talked about at all on Tuesday's show. I hope that means that you know, Stand Deliver was their farewell, especially Io since she was in. I suppose we might find out more information about that tonight, maybe on Raw, if they run a video package or a trailer or something, or anything of that ilk would be nice. But yeah, besides, you know, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Stand Deliver was just a show, and I don't think... Personally speaking, if everything that happened was kind of a reaction to trying to move tickets or whatever, I don't think that they should take NXT on the road anytime soon ever again.
They're not ready.
Have it be a one-time-a-year thing for Mania, but that's it.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't...
If that was the reason, or it was, you know, what was going on behind the scenes or whatever, fine, but if the reason was they felt they need to move tickets or whatever, like...
Do it for the big weekends. It's fine to do it for the big weekends because these kids need to be out in front of a big audience, a live crowd, so they can get some reps. But if you think those kids are going on tour right now for weekly TV, hell no. Hell no, they are not.
I don't regret watching Stand and Deliver. Like, it was something to do in the afternoon. Like, it was a good enough show in the moment. But yeah, it was all undone by Tuesday. So.
Yeah,
you know, whatever. What are you gonna do?
I don't even think they need to go on the Roar for good. Period. Like, if they do, they got to do really small shows. Like, they're not gonna do more than a 10,000 seat arena on a Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
So think smart, not hard.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like I said, so just one weekend, just WrestleMania weekend every year. That's it. For what it is right now, if they have no plans on going back to what it used to be, which I don't think they do, obviously, but if that's what it is right now, just do it once a year. I don't even want to see them around for SummerSlam.
Yeah, to be honest with you. That's fair. I mean, so before we get into Mania, Pierce, I just have a general question about it. You know, you've been to plenty of the one night ones. Your first two night one, which one did you prefer?
Well, first off, I prefer 38 over 34 and 35. Okay. And I would take either singular night over 34 and 35.
That's fair.
You know, for me, both nights just moved so well. I think night one was a shade under 4. Night two was a shade under 330 or a little bit over 330. Yeah. So it timed out very perfectly. First off, they had the DJ playing. We were talking about pre-shows. They had a DJ playing, which, like, dope. I love that. It was a nice little ambiance for, like, you know, the first hour that you're inside the stadium, kind of just touring and getting to see everything and take pictures. It's really cool to hear Push and Pee at WrestleMania. But at a certain point, 6:30, 6:45, maybe give us a match or two. I know they had some, like, you know, Titus came out one day and, you know, they did some ceremonial stuff. But 6:30, if you want to give us a match, just to get people, you know, in the seats and watching some wrestling before the big show, that would be really dope. That would be really fun. Granted, you start off with the tags for the first two nights, so, you know, you had a reason to get up for those for those nights. I would definitely say night one was more fun than night two. And I feel like that was a consensus across the board, which is funny because a lot of people were just like, oh, yeah, night one's not going to be as good. Night's not how you book a WrestleMania. He, ha, ha. And usually when people do that, they're going to be fucking wrong. They're usually going to be outstandingly fucking wrong. But yeah, for me, night one was so much more fun than night two. And night two was really fun.
Okay.
But there was a reason that night one was outstanding.
Yeah, and of course.
Do you prefer, like, as far as in person, doing the two nights instead of just the one?
I would prefer it, but, like, I understand monetarily if you can't. I saw a few people going for night two that didn't go to night one. So maybe those are just family folks. You know, maybe some people stayed for the weekend, did WrestleMania Saturday, and then dipped out WrestleMania Sunday. You know, I'm never going to tell anybody what to do, especially with the money. Do what you do. It's an expensive-ass weekend.
Yeah.
You know, right? It's an expensive-ass weekend. But, you know, I thoroughly enjoyed being there for two nights. It was fun. Like, for me, it's a festival feel. It's no different than if I'm going to Lollapalooza. You know, you pay the fine. I think I paid a little bit over three, usually, like, I haven't paid for Lollapalooza in 10 years, but I think it's gone up to $400 for 4 days. So if you cool paying that for two nights of WrestleMania, definitely do it.
Yeah, that was my other thing. Like, is the combo ticket that much more expensive?
I'm not sure. Because we bought ours through a buy one, get one Valentine's Day deal.
Oh, okay.
You know, we bought the separate nights and it totaled out to something like $300. The combo tickets, I'm not sure. Maybe the combo tickets. It looked like the combo tickets are cheaper if you can finagle it the right way. But, you know, definitely do your, for next year, I would encourage everybody, do your research. If you want to just pinpoint Valentine's Day as a day where, okay, there's a good chance they might be doing a sale here, you know, keep that in mind. But, you know, definitely, you know, weigh the pros and cons. And, like, I didn't check, you know, like, the StubHub tick pick before the show. But I'm pretty sure, you know, you might be able to, if you wanted to wait, you probably find some. Like, if you really want to go to WrestleMania, there are ways to kind of get around the hurdles. You just kind of have the patience and the want to do it. But you know, anyway, let's just get into the fucking show, because we're going to skip. Let me tell you what we're going to skip right now.
Yeah.
Usos retained. That ties into the main event. We'll talk about that slightly. Drew Mac beat Happy Corbin. Drew Mac is the first person to ever kick out of the End of Days, so pretty cool. He also cut the ring with the sword, which took up a little bit too much of my fucking time. Miz and Logan Paul beat Rey Mysterio and Dominic. Logan Paul looked really good in the ring and out of it. I hate saying that, but this is one of my piss breaks, so I'm not going to talk about it too much. Bobby Lashley defeated Omos. He then got his ass beat by Omos and MVP the next night. So MVP is now with Omos, and we're pretty sure MVP is going to build the Hurt Business with Omos. RK-Bro beat the Street Profits at Alpha Academy. Afterwards, RK-Bro and Street Profits had a little toast, and they brought Gable Stevenson in. By the way, we did not need to do two nights of Gable Stevenson shout-outs. WWE, learn how to better manage your fucking time. In our time. But then Chad Gable came in, knocked this couple away, said, shoosh, which I was wondering, is that getting over? It's kind of getting over. and then Gable Stevenson beat up Chad Gable. Sheamus and Ridge Holland and the New Day really didn't need to happen. That could have stayed cut.
Yeah, that
match could have stayed cut. But guess what? All y'all were mad because Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods got cut from WrestleMania. Guess what? They did them dirtier.
They did. Yeah.
They did.
That was bad. One of the worst parts of the weekend, I think. Yeah.
They did them so dirty. Vince McMahon had a match 2 minutes longer than them.
Yeah.
All
right. That's the bullshit out of the way. Let's start with our main event on night two. Our main event of the big weekend, that was winner take all for all the marbles, Roman Reigns retaining his Universal Champion and winning the WWE Championship, unifying the belts, beating Brock Lesnar in 12 minutes. It was definitely a shock that the match ended when it did. First off, I definitely, somebody was like, fight forever, and I'm like, please don't, like, I'm tired, yeah. I want to go home, I got a flight, and I had a 5 a.m. flight, let's get this, let's wrap, I wanted to break out the wrap it up box, and then immediately Roman hit a spear, bam, 1, 2, 3, we're out of here, so thank you, appreciate you, but then you realize, like, oh shit, Roman might have kind of popped his shoulder. Mm-hmm. And then he just popped it back in like a boss and then did, like, the illest pose imaginable. It was so dope.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as someone who was very high on this match going into it, I loved the build and all that, and it was fine. Like, I think their match at WrestleMania 31 is better. I'm not going to watch the match at WrestleMania 34 ever again, so this one might have been better than that one. It was missing blood. You know, we talked about kind of needing blood, kind of with the lead up they had. And personally, I think I like the Crown Jewel match a little bit more. This one was fine. Like, you know, it's another notch for Roman, and you just need to not have these two wrestle each other ever again. I mean, at this point, like, you can't do it again. You were able to salvage it and get it done. You
I
know,
already told you where I think this is going.
Yeah, exactly.
They could do that.
If they do it in Hell in a Cell, okay, sure, fine. Like, as one final blow off, I think you give those two that, they can make it work. But, you know, it wasn't as good as I was kind of thinking, hoping it would be, but it's still, for me personally, I enjoyed it. But I could see if others didn't. Like, it's not probably in the top 10, top 15.
I can't see how you didn't enjoy it. Like, I think we can agree if, like, you don't think it's better than 31. I feel it. You know, I'm 31 special because of Seth for me. Before that, you could argue, oh yeah, no, this is better. But I don't argue how you think this is a bad match.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's bad. I just again, I was kind of looking for blood. That might have been on me, but they kind of hinted at it enough that I thought they were going to go for it. It wasn't, again, I like watching both guys. It was pretty clear that something happened to Roman, and it got kind of, you know,
yeah,
shaky at the end. Yeah. He seems to be fine, which is good, because I was worried for quite a few days last week that he was not going to be fine, but you know, still moving ahead. You know, a big topic has been, oh, his title reign's getting kind of boring and does the same thing. They could change it up a little bit, but also, like, I still enjoy it, so.
But everybody does the same thing.
Yeah,
it's WWE. I mean, everyone, you know, does the same standard stuff. I think it's a fair argument to say that maybe it's gotten stale, but I think that's a weak point to make. If I were to make any argument against it, I would say that they're just very deficient on contenders right now. And I mean, that's something that, you know, it's their decision to make the rosters what they are, so they have to just kind of live with it right now. But they'll probably end this on a high note. I think I know how they're going to end it too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I enjoyed the match. Maybe the ending was a little flat for some people, but it was definitive, and that was it.
Like, I don't think all you needed was a good match. You didn't need the frills. Like, blood would have been dope, but it wasn't necessary. Like, it's the third of these. You really just needed it to cross the bar of being better than 34, and it did that by miles.
Yeah.
So once we get to that point, then it's like, okay, Roman wins. Now, how do we end this? How do we blow this off to where we can officially put the nail in this coffin? And for me, it has to be a Hell in a Cell in Chicago. Like, that's the only thing that they haven't done, the only thing so brutal that it has to end this years-long feud. So, yeah, they'll put him in Hell in a Cell in Chicago. I would really enjoy. For now, it looks like they're going to pivot the right way and go to Nakamura. Nakamura lost his tag partner, Rick Boogs. I feel so bad for Rick Boogs. He's trying a really cool move, and then his knee just gave out. And he's going to be on the shelf for quite a while, torn quad and patellar. Hopefully they can find a way to keep him on TV and keep him playing guitar for Nakamura. But you have a built-in feud right there. You can, you know, the Usos tore up Rick Boots, tore up my tag partner's knee, my ace's knee. Mm-hmm. And you know, I want to defeat the Bloodline, but the way that they fucking played that off on Friday, such bullshit. I'm as much as I love Roman, and I'm in the fucking place throwing up the ones for the Usos and Roman. Like, it's over. There's no bigger star in professional wrestling than Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. But the way that they book Roman Reigns is so fucking shit sometimes, where he is absolutely untouchable. You have lackeys for a reason.
Yeah.
You have a wise man for a fucking reason. Mm-hmm. Those three people gotta get their ass beat, even if nobody can touch you. Nah. We just did the Young Bucks super kick and show go to black. They made Nakamura come off like such a loser on Friday. And that's my why this Roman's title run isn't flat, because he's amazing with it. Mm-hmm. He's driving this title run. Him and his character work and his work in his title matches is driving this shit. But the way that they book him is fucking terrible. And if folks are just going to fanboy it and not point out that obvious point, you can still like the Reign, you can still like Roman, and point out that they do a horrible fucking job at booking him. Because yeah. If you book, really not even a horrible job of booking him, horrible job of booking his title Reign. Because he looks good. He's the only one in his title matches that end up looking good. His opponents wind up looking worse. Every single one of them have come off worse. Name me one, other than Jey Uso, maybe Kevin Owens, has come out of a Roman Reigns title match looking better.
Yeah, exactly. No, you nailed it. And they really have to kind of focus more on elevating the people that he beats. And
there's another person who does that also.
Yeah, Charlotte.
I'm sorry, I missed you.
Charlotte also.
I want to dive into that one next. I don't know
where. Yeah, that's true.
I don't know where our
trajectory is. I mean, we can. I don't give a fuck about this match.
It was a good match.
So it felt good. I just didn't care.
That's fair. Yeah. I mean, I thought it was good. I thought they wrestled a really smooth match.
Yeah. Compared to what we thought it was going to be with Ronda.
Yeah, the technical work in that match was great. They worked really well together, as I expected them to. But my main problem with all of Charlotte's Reign has just been it's been so shameless.
Yeah, exactly.
And the fact and then, that they literally had Ronda have a visual pin.
Yeah, and a visual.
Where she put her foot on the rope, a ref bump, and then a visual tap out, only to lose to a big boot, is just ridiculous.
Yeah. No, it's very dumb. I mean, I think the I Quit match is going
to
be
at least be good.
Pretty good.
I trust them to change the title over, because why would I at this point?
Yeah, exactly. But I mean,
in all respect, like, yeah, I know that obviously she was going to probably have a match at the Rumble against Tony, but like they weren't changing the title.
No, and
so,
I saw.
I don't know what they. I mean, like, she's had one. That was her first pay-per-view title defense. She went over to SmackDown.
Yeah, exactly.
That's 6 months.
Yeah.
And again, I know that, you know, yes, the match in January was scrubbed because of other reasons, but like, my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then SmackDown right now is it's in such a position where it's like Sasha and Naomi are going to be working in tag division for a little while. And I think, for the record, congrats to them. And I thought it was an obvious, I think it was a nice touch when, you know, they were on commentary on SmackDown, Naomi was. And Cole pointed out that they were the first Black women's tag team champions, and Naomi was like, say that again.
Yeah. Yep, that was cool.
But they're in such a spot where, like, you know, the tag stuff, Natty and Shayna are going to stay there, it looks like, because they had them sort of pseudo-involved there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, if not Ronda, who the hell else is taking that title?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
If Ronda didn't win at WrestleMania after she's held the title since August, okay, when is it going
to
happen?
But yeah. I also didn't feel like Ronda was going. I thought Ronda was going to go away.
Either,
she's clearly staying.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. Like, this is just one of them feuds where I'm just like, all right, I'm just going to sit back and watch it play out. Because of that genuine, like, don't care, and you proved me wrong by having a decent match this first match.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, let's see where we go with this. You know, we could fuck it up. They could always fuck it up because Charlotte booking. You could always fuck it up because Ronda's not a great worker. And the funny thing is, a lot of non-wrestling fans tuned in was just like, yo, I saw.
Yeah.
I mean, she's just going back to the movie.
she's good in ring. I mean,
but this is like not even casual. Like just folks who saw the clips on Twitter and was just like, hey, I saw you were at WrestleMania. Yeah, Ronda. Oh, see that? Oh my goodness. Yeah. So to us, she's okay because we watch her improve from terrible to regular people. She's terrible, but you know.
Because I don't know how with respect to her in-ring abilities, that's never been the problem. The problem for me has just been, especially in this run, is she. I think they would probably behoove her to just give her someone to talk with. Because I think it's the intensity in Aura is kind of absent right now. It was there in her first run.
Yeah.
And she never, I don't think she ever really had a bad match in her first run. She even had a good match with Nia Jax, for God's sake. I mean, the match in Money in the Bank was legitimately quite good.
It was, yeah.
And the Charlotte match, Survivor Series, quite good. The match with Sasha, unbelievably good.
Yeah.
At the Rumble.
Yeah.
So her in-ring standpoint, I have no problem. The striking, that is what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen worse punches at our lives. Cough, cough, Shane McMahon, cough, cough.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I just, what are they going to do when Charlotte needs to drop the title? Who is she going to drop?
Well, yeah, I mean, that might be.
I can't pinpoint somebody she's going to drop. She's not going to drop it to Sasha.
That might be at the I Quit match, but, I mean, we'll see.
But even if it's that, okay, you dropped it at WrestleMania Backlash. Like, good for you.
Exactly. And the person that everyone was worried about not dropping their title, I think, was more Becky. And, like, that was the
silliest thing ever.
Yeah, it proved to be very unfounded.
But people thought Becky was going to, sorry, what was the silliest? Now I'm confused as to what.
Yeah,
people thought Becky was going to retain.
That was never happening.
That was a foolish thought.
That was never happening. There were ranking the pops inside AT&T Stadium this weekend. Number one, we don't even have to say his name because it's a nuclear. Talk about him in just a little bit. Number two was the returning Cody Rhodes. Number three is Bianca Belair's victory.
Yeah.
Like, she is a supernova right now in professional wrestling.
Yeah, and that's the thing, and we've talked about it on here too. Like, first of all, she's very cool, and not a lot of wrestlers are very cool. It just kind of shines through. But just, she delivers too. She's one of their best big match. These are probably two of their best big match workers of the past 5 years or so. Sasha's up there. I think you put Roman up there. But these two, they always deliver, man. And they delivered here. And, for whatever people thought of the build, I thought it was a pretty good build. But fine.
It was fine. But for me, I always knew it was going to happen anyway. So I kind
of
just wanted.
Once we kind of rounded it out on the Monday going in, then, like, it became. Because we had to focus on the hair for a minute with the whips and everything like that. And then we finally got around to Becky getting her haircut and then this new look for WrestleMania. Then I'm like, okay, this build's really good.
Mm-hmm.
So, that added to the match. But then also, like, it's not better than last year's match with Sasha. But it's a really good title match. Of Becky's title matches, damn, actually, it's been a really long time. That might be Becky's best title match, period.
I think top three off the bat for me, thinking about this just right away. Are we talking title defenses or title matches?
Period, title matches.
Okay, because I think her top three.
I'm not counting NXT, so.
Okay, yeah. I think her top three is this match, Asuka at the Rumble in 2019. And the last Woman Standing match against Charlotte at Evolution.
Yeah, I was sitting here trying to debate: was this better than the last Woman Standing? Oh, God, cancel culture. But it's online with that for me. I definitely would put it ahead of the Royal Rumble match with Asuka. Good match, but I definitely prefer this one with Bianca. If she would have hit that top rope KOD, my goodness. That place was ready to fucking erupt when she went up to the top row for that top row KOD. So Oh my! She recovered really really easy because doing a second rope 450.
Oh yeah, it's crazy.
Is insane. That is insane athleticism. Yeah, Bianca is definitely among the top three. You know, in terms of crowd reactions over the weekend. So she's back with the strap. Congratulations to her. Her birthday just passed. Shout out to Montez. He bought this woman a boat. Because when you make history of back-to-back WrestleManias, you get a boat. You get a pontoon boat. That's so lovely. Love is dope. So we've talked about two, the women's title matches. Let's talk about the third. Sasha Banks, Naomi, our tag champions. Really, it's a long time coming for Sasha. You know, she was 0-6 at WrestleMania, so she finally gets a WrestleMania moment. Naomi, who, like, you don't really think about it, but Naomi's one of the more decorated women in WrestleMania history. Having won a SmackDown tag title, having won the first battle royal that they did for the women, and then now winning the tag titles here. Sneaky decorated at WrestleMania. So, yeah, congratulations to the two of them. I think we'll see more of Liv and Rhea. Apparently, going off of SmackDown, we'll see more of Natty and Shayna. What comes of both Carmella and Zelina, who knows? But Carmella just got married, so congratulations to her. I hope she goes take a nice vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, shout out to Liv for putting her whip on auction because it's up to $10,000.
Yeah. 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 Very, 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 very smart decision from her because she knows what makes the money.
Yes. Also, I really quite like that match a lot.
Yeah.
I don't think many were giving it much of an opportunity to succeed going in, but I think that all of them really impressed, and I think that match got better as they started using tandem offense.
Yeah, I agree.
Tandem offense is, Rob, you like tag team wrestling, obviously, quite a lot.
Yeah.
You would know tandem offense is what makes tag team wrestling so great.
Yeah.
And when they started rolling out these combos, that's where it worked. And for the record, I love Sasha and Naomi's tag finisher. It's basically a modified Ticket to Mayhem that the Grizzled Young Veterans do.
Yeah.
So, but Sasha comes in on a tumble and then jumps up and hits the Code Breaker Titan.
Yeah, it's very cool. It was a good match. You know, I'm glad they got the win. And
I'm glad they got time, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they seem to have identified the two tag teams in this match that they should be focusing on. They're focusing on now. So, you know, it's nice to see these belts have a little bit of a resurgence.
Well, look who's holding
them. Yeah, exactly.
When they, this is the thing. However long this run lasts, I think it'll last a pretty decent amount of time. Sasha Banks is going to work, and she's going to want to work.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to get exposure when she's, you know, wrestling and when she's one of the champions. So that's what they need to do.
I feel like there's a lot of potential for this as a tag team on either side, because you keep them as they are now. They, you know, are two of the most beloved superstars, period, within that company. It's absolutely not a bad thing that you could say about Naomi. Not a single bad thing. And Sasha is a star. She radiates that. So right off the top, you've made that tag team and those belts matter by putting on those two women. But if you flip them, Let's say Tamina just kind of creeps back. I like the way Tamina came in the scene the other day, got a hug in, that little team bad reunion. It was so cute. That was so sweet. What if you flip them? And then all of a sudden, they're a heel tag team. And you have a Tamina come in and be your muscle for your heel tag team, watching on the back. He's causing some sneaky shit. It would be... They have a lot of heel potential. I'm sorry, I'm always looking at the heel potential of things. You don't flip them now, but I think eventually at some point there is a flippability possibility with Sasha and Naomi, and then that's a way that you can build your next babyface tag team when they are ready to get a spotlight. So I mean, obviously it was a no-brainer move. They weren't going to put it on anybody else. Absolutely not. But it's just a matter of what those women can do with those tag titles. This doesn't feel like the regular hodgepodge tag team.
Nope.
that we've seen getting a run. You know, yeah, they were together when Sasha first got on the main roster, but it's been a while since we've seen Naomi and Sasha together. But the fact that we know that genuinely they enjoy each other, you know, yeah, exactly. And it pops off screen, that's why you have reason to invest in them. So that was really good. Let's talk about the longest match on the card this weekend. Why was this match so long? Edge defeated AJ Styles on Sunday night. While it was an okay match, but I did not get the level of Edge versus AJ Styles that I felt like I was going to get. Am I alone in that belief or not?
Nope, absolutely.
Definitely not, but I think that maybe they're saving some more on the Vine because WrestleMania doesn't necessarily end feuds anymore.
Yeah.
But I think that maybe there was a bit of overthinking.
Yeah, I mean, again, it probably shouldn't have been 24 minutes.
No, you could probably shave off 7 of that and go with 17.
I actually thought Edge's entrance was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it kind of feels like you know, when Owens and Styles are feuding and they didn't really connect, that kind of is what it felt like here. But we'll see when they have more than one match. Yeah, exactly. I mean, they could come back at, you know, Backlash or whatever. It's clear they're probably going to keep going. Edge has his spooky stable coming up, and AJ's going to find some friends, I would imagine. And you know, it can be turned around. But yeah, I mean, as far as just like this being one of the matches I was very excited for on the show, it did not live up to the hype.
It was a little underwhelming.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, I'm going to peep that the other side from Alter Bridge. I really want to listen to that.
Oh, yeah.
That's a badass song. excuse me. Johnny Knoxville beat Sami Zayn by pinfall in Anything Goes match. This is probably the most fun match. And I skipped the first like five because I'm like, all right, I'm just gonna take a little nap here. Nice little nappy nap. And then they got progressively better and better and better.
Yeah.
It's just a fun it's the match that you show to people to remind them that wrestling can still be fun. And that you don't have to take this entire fucking thing seriously. It's sports entertainment. Everything that wrestling is, truthfully, is sports entertainment. Never leave off that entertainment part.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, like, I know Dave Meltzer was upset about it, saying, you know, he watched it with other people and he was embarrassed. And was like, well, motherfucker, you watch wrestling with people for 35 years or whatever, and this is what did it for you? I mean, you know, like, come on, man. It's okay to just have fun once in a while. Yeah. And
am I surprised that an old fart like him doesn't appreciate Jackass?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the match, you could just as easily just say, this isn't for me.
Yeah. And I mean,
this match was for us. This is for our generation that grew up with Jackass and watching all these people do crazy shit. That's what this was.
Yeah.
This was an ode to us.
I mean, they brought some stuff in, you know, Wee Man doing the body slam was great stuff. You know, just kind of like overall, shout out to Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, because I know that both of their matches really meant a lot to them. And, you know, they got heat for saying, you know, we're going to stay in WWE, we're going to do this. And it worked out for them, you know. And
I think it's really awesome that they both were like open on Twitter about how much they loved each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
during their matches and after, and you know, people like start from Sami Zayn, and we can transition. You know, for Sami, off, you know, doing the eye test, he never fit the WWE mold.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, any iteration, you look at him and you're just like, you know, why is WWE investing so much in this kid? But he really gives 130% to whatever he is taxed with doing, whether he's, you know, supposed to be the uber baby face and it's impossible to hate Sami Zayn. And in this recent run when they flipped him and starting him with Kevin and then eventually, you know, having him go off into, you know, so what he's doing now. And you know, the fact that he's so funny and then funny enough to really be the perfect foil of a Johnny Knoxville coming in. Like, yeah, Johnny Knoxville's got to push a TV show, but like, if you're not talking about Jackass, when's the last time we talked about Johnny Knoxville in a different setting? It's been a really long time.
Yeah, because all the other stuff he has done, the movie's flamed out. Yeah,
I can't remember the last Johnny Knoxville movie, but like, yeah, he's synonymous with Jackass now. And yeah, he's got the movie to push, but you know, here you got a dude that can easily transition to pro wrestling because he's game for whatever kind of silliness you want to put him through. He can do it, and there was nobody better, you know, to have Knoxville in the ring with than Sami Zayn, because Sami Zayn is just, you know, he finds a way to, you know, consistently entertain you, whether he is one of the best baby faces on the card or whether he's supposed to get a rise out of you out of a heel. He's just excellent in what he does. And, you know, I never understood why people wanted him to leave and go to AEW so bad so he can, or AEW so bad so he can be El Generico.
Yeah.
So he could, you know, go back to, because you really miss what he was doing in Ring of Honor. You really miss that. You really want that out of a nearing 40 Sami Zayn. Craving that. No, man, he's a fucking, he's great where he's at. He's great at what he's doing. And like, yeah, you want Sami Zayn to be a WWE champion. What if Sami Zayn is not supposed to be destined for that? Sometimes you have to understand, some people aren't destined to be champion. You might get a run, but nowadays, sometimes getting a run is just a thank you for your service.
Yeah,
you know, let's acknowledge the great work that you have done so you can call yourself a world champion. And if Sami Zayn gets that, great. Wonderful. I think he deserves it. But if he doesn't, it's not the end of the fucking world. And to sit here and hope that he goes to AEW just so he can get that and be a Lord Farquaad in the land of you know, miniature giants, instead of just being where he's at and making great money and doing great work and entertaining everybody, I don't understand that. I really didn't understand that.
Yeah, but you know, again, like, credit to him for that was a great match. People are going to remember it. You know, it just it was awesome.
Hand came out of nowhere. That hand shocked the fuck of it. You're like, oh shit. Yeah, that was good. That was really fun.
Do we want to just save all Austin stuff for last?
We'll transition to Austin now. Because there's a match that involves Austin at the end we have to talk about. from the moment that the promo video leading up to everything played till the very end of the show, nobody, at least in the 100 section on down, nobody was sitting down.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been to a wrestling show where everyone, literally everybody, is on their feet and you know, no one's on their phone checking Twitter. No one's, you know, of course people try to get pictures, obviously, but, you know, everybody's just zeroed in on the moment because it was an absolute moment. And, you know, I'm sure there's been times where Austin has come out and just been able to captivate a crowd in the last 19 years, of course. Mm. You know, Stone Cold Steve Austin. He is God in professional wrestling. I'm officially saying that man is God in professional wrestling. He can do no wrong. But for what we got, and even just like the anticipation of it, which, by the way, you want to talk about the pageantry? Second to the pageantry was WWE perfectly timing the anticipation for everything this weekend.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about Cody in the finale here. But making us wait for Austin as long as they could. By the way, I tried to do the whole 316 thing. That's a fucking cap. He didn't come out of 316. I was upset too. You know, just doing the whole, you know, making us wait and, you know, really timing out perfectly. The only taste we had was that little promotional video. No one knew what was going to happen. And even Stone Cold said, like, yo, I was fine with just going out, doing a brawl and beating his ass. When I felt more comfortable to do a match, I wanted to do a match. Mm-hmm. And kudos to Kevin Owens for being able to sell the hell out of this, for really being the only guy who, in the ring, for a brawl, because that's what it was, a no-holds-barred 15-minute brawl. And then also on the mic, the only guy that could stand in that ring with Stone Cold Steve Austin. Hell of a fucking job for you, because people are telling you to go be on TBS and play around with your friends and not do the thing that you have been striving to do for your entire career, being poor and broke with a wife and two kids, just robbing Peter to pay Paul to make ends meet. They didn't want you to have this moment. And you were able to have this moment where you main event at WrestleMania against your idol. That's an incredible accomplishment. You knocked out the fucking park. But for Austin to actually go out there and have a, was it 14, 13, 55? For Austin to go out there and have a 14-minute match, and not like Bret Hart having a match at WrestleMania, he does a couple moves on Stone Cold, but he can barely walk. Like, no. That man hit textbook suplexes. He hit suplexes better than a lot of guys on the main roster right now. And not only that, he was taking suplexes onto concrete.
Yeah.
Like, suplexes and clotheslines and punches, really, that's all you fucking need, because it's Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's brawling. That was fucking awesome. Everything about that was awesome. The energy was so palpable, I can still feel it now. Like, it was everything that you would have wanted out of that moment that you weren't sure that you were going to get, because you felt that, you know, something's amiss about this. Like, this can't be too good to be true. It was better. Being the building for that was better than my wildest dreams. Austin killed it. Owens did amazing. Thank God they had Byron come in there, because I was wondering, oh yeah, they gotta send Byron in there to get a fucking stunner. And you know, it was amazing send off to the send off that Stone Cold always deserved, that he never got. So you know, amazing way to end night one.
Yeah, and that's the thing, because like, you know, he always kind of felt like he was at peace with how it ended with The Rock and all that, but you know, he didn't really get the chance to you know, get his flowers from everyone, because he was just kind of gone. Like, and I think this was a really nice way it was a nice way to end the night. It's a nice bridge between the two nights, I think. But also, like, for them to have just kind of kept it vague the whole time as to what they were going to do here ended up being a really good move, because, you know, this ended up just blowing everyone's expectations. Like, he could have just done the KO show and hit a stunner and drink the beers and everyone would have had the same reaction. But, like, to actually go and have a full match, and you know, it started and he's, you know, doing the stomps in the corner, and I think everyone's a little like,
I love how he played that.
You know, those don't look very good anymore, and then is this gonna be okay? And then, like, yeah, 2 minutes later he's taking a suplex on the concrete. But yeah, it was awesome, man. I'm glad that they did that. And like I said, just really, for all the talk and everyone was, you know, surprised or whatever that it was main eventing, because it was, you know, just going to be a segment. But like, that was
once they said they were main eventing, something should have tipped you off to, yeah, this is more than just a KO show and a brawl.
Because if they put anything after that, they wouldn't have had the crowd.
No.
The crowd would have been dead.
No.
Like,
the way we were all sucked in to this moment, they did that for like close to 40 minutes. I want to say the whole thing may have gone 35, 40 minutes. You would have Charlotte, Ronda, or even Bianca and Becky, and it was a really good match. That was the third longest match on the weekend. So yeah, Kudos to them for going out there, getting time, and then doing amazing with that time. But, like, all love to them. If that was main eventing, that would not have had the same energy, because everyone would have been so spent by, you know, being able to watch Austin work, and being able to watch Austin work better than anyone ever thought he could, you know. So yeah, I'm glad that I got to see Stone Cold Steve Austin wrestle one last time. This absolutely, positively is going to be the last time, because if there's any word in pro wrestling that we trust, it's Stone Cold Steve Austin. Sorry, Ric Flair. Sorry, Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, I mean, like, right after it happened, I thought, you know, maybe he couldn't have one more match, but he doesn't need to.
Nah. Like, for me, I'm like, you know, does he want to challenge Roman? That's how much I'm like, he's so obviously so over. He's fucking Stone Cold Steve Austin. But like, yeah, if Stone Cold and Roman did a match, but yeah, no, Roman would fucking tear him in half. Like, why would you
do exactly?
That?
So
why would you do that?
And then yeah, you know, the next night, kind of you realize that he was going to come out because if people only went to night two, like they wouldn't get to see him. And
yeah, that was the same thing with the Undertaker. Which like, I get it. I get why you had Taker come out for both nights. Pat McAfee wrestled a match with Austin Theory. I'm about to upset a lot of people with what I'm about to say. That was a really good match between Pat McAfee and Austin Theory. That's what you want. A 9-minute, 40-second match with Pat McAfee and Austin Theory to look like. Mm-hmm. Do I think that that match is as great as a lot of y'all making Pat McAfee defeating Austin Theory out to be? Fuck no.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like I told you, like, I think a lot of people maybe haven't seen Pat McAfee, in NXT. So, like, you know, to us, it was just kind of a standard thing. But, like, to some people, you know, the spot where he jumps from the ring to the top turnbuckle and then flips down, like, that was new to some people. Yeah, like, I'm glad they did that. Yeah, but
makes sense.
No, I think people were overhyping it a little bit. But again, I think a lot of people, this is the first time they've actually seen Pat McAfee, and also forget that, you know, I know he was a punter, but he was an NFL
player. He is an athlete. Like, punters and kickers can still beat you at a lot of shit, okay? Just because all they do is kick and use their legs. Like, the workout in NFL office, dude. What are you talking about?
And, like, NFL people going to WWE, either for just a one-off or, like, in general, has a pretty high success rate. Like, there hasn't been too many guys that have gone to the NFL or through the NFL and then, you know, fizzled out in WWE.
Look at D'Angelo Williams.
Yeah, he was good. Yeah. You know, we talk about Kevin Green. We talk about Steve McMichael. Like, just they lean into it. And, you know, when you have the athleticism, that's a decent chunk of what you need. So, you know, yeah, it was a little much, the reaction, but a lot of people I think are seeing Pat for the first time.
I think people like Pat.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, people. Oh, no. What am I talking about? I'm sorry, Bianca, you're fourth. Pat McAfee's second of the Pops. I'm sorry, I forgot about Pat McAfee while I was naming off the Pops. Four would be Bianca, three would be Cody, two would be Pat McAfee. There were a lot Pat McAfee fanboys on night two. You want to talk about who didn't go to night one? There weren't that many For the Brand shirts on night one.
Oh wow.
Like, nah, they were all over. Like, they were loud as hell for Pat McAfee. They loved Pat McAfee. And that's probably why, like, the crowd came off so hot, because everyone was really there for Pat McAfee. Everyone really loved Pat McAfee. That was his crowd. So, you know, for me, it was like, you know, people saw him do the jump up to the top rope thing, and I'm like, what would make you think he can't do that? Do you think this man doesn't do box jumps? That's what the fuck it is. It's a box jump.
Yeah, it's exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Like, what the fuck are we doing here, bro? Yeah. Like, yo, Pat McAfee is a good worker, though. Pat McAfee is a really good worker, and, you know, him doing this intermittently, you know, not all the time, but enough to where, you know, he can get to, you know, because he has the crowd, like, that's pretty much number one, is being able to, you know, have the crowd on your every hook. You know, just keep doing that every now and then. I think he's doing a great job. I think Austin Theory did a great job. Austin Theory is clearly getting the 2004 Randy Orton push. He'll be the one to take that U.S. title off of Ricochet, which I feel so bad for you, Ricochet. Oh, sorry, Finn Balor. I feel bad for Ricochet too, but I feel bad for Finn Balor also. Yep. And then Vince McMahon decided that he wanted to take off his shirt and get in the ring, because he's Vince McMahon, and Stone Cold Steve Austin can get over, so can I. So Vince wrestled a terrible 3-4 minute match, got a weak pinfall, yay, cool. I'm like, all right, can we just get this shit over? Either we're getting Austin or we're getting Rock. Just get to the fucking point. And we got Austin again. So, yeah, Austin stunned Mr. McMahon, Vince McMahon, probably for the final time.
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, people are like, oh no, Vince can't take Vince. That's, you know, Vince needs to retire. Da, da, da. Have you ever seen Vince McMahon take a stunner? There are a lot of people who somehow have never seen Vince McMahon take a stunner before. Incredible. That may be like on the better list of Vince McMahon taking stunners.
Like, everyone remembers the first one just because he laid there and, like, started shaking. But, like, the actual sell, once, you know, it wasn't great. And then, you know, the Raw 25 one, like, Vince was old then, too, and Austin, like, didn't even kick him. He just missed him. And I'm like, well, they probably shouldn't do that again. And now here we are trying it again. And it was funny enough, and the person that did it is, you know, a guy that everyone can laugh at. And, you know, he laughed himself, too. So, like...
Yeah.
And, you know, Stone Cold was laughing about it. So it ended up being fine. Like, it's funny.
Byron's cell, unfortunately, was hilarious.
Byron's cell was good.
Pat's cell was great, too.
Theory cell was very good.
Theory cell was really good. I saw some people, like, saying it wasn't. But, like, the whole point is to over-exaggerate.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the Rock's stunners are always awesome.
Yeah.
And then Pat McAfee drinking the beer after taking a stunner was just fucking priceless.
Yeah.
Gifable material, absolute gifable material. So, great overall. Keep doing Pat McAfee matches. I know I just shit on it, but I'm like, yeah, no, keep doing it. And then we can end on this final match, and it goes back to me talking about the patience that WWE played with, how a lot of this WrestleMania card and a lot of what happened at WrestleMania played out. You know, you talk about the Becky and Bianca match, really slowly planting the seeds of hair being a significant factor between the two, and then finally getting to, you know, Becky's new look and Becky's new character, it seems. We talked about waiting and waiting until we finally heard that glass break with Austin, and we finally learned that we were going to get a real match, and then seeing that the real match was dope. They took their time with the Cody Rhodes reveal. They squeezed every bit of patience out of that crowd, to the point where when you finally heard wrestling has more than one royal family and the crowd just erupts. Cody left a mid-carder, a struggling career mid-carder. He left a struggling career mid-carder with no upward trajectory. He came back a superstar. And he was very much depicted as that. Even if you don't think Cody Rhodes is actually a superstar, even if you still think, like, okay, in-ring you haven't changed much, the presentation of Cody Rhodes and who he is now, he's absolutely a superstar. And, you know, now we're set up for the possibilities of some really good stories to tell with Cody in WWE. But first of all, that was a great match. Well, good match. There was a lot of bear hugs and rest holds, and I was like, yo, we gotta get this shit going.
The Cody cutter. Impeccable.
Woo! That was nasty.
I think he could have done that 99 more times. He would not have hit as perfectly as he did that first, that one time. Just exceptional stuff.
Yeah, I mean, again, like, all the stuff around him, you do forget that he is actually very good in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, because everyone has, you know, their takes on all the other stuff. But yeah, I thought it was awesome. You know, I thought the presentation was good, kind of making everyone wait. And then as soon as all the pyro hit, it's just like, oh yeah, it is Cody. Okay. And
also, it's very funny that they literally they took him from one pool and dropped him in a new pool as the same guy.
Yeah,
when did that ever happen?
They need to film his entrance a little better so he doesn't look like a whack-a-mole coming up. But
yeah, for Raw, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, see, the challenge with Raw is you have to, like, bring in an apparatus so then you can lift him up out of the apparatus, and then yeah, you can walk down. Where heel was a lot more seamless, and it was really fucking cool. That shot, oh my God. The two best shots of the weekend. Roman Reigns holding up because after he holds him up, he kind of drops him down and talks his shit.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking amazing. That is an amazing fucking shot. Bravo, that's number one. Number two, by the way, Charles Barkley, The Milwaukee Bucks are going to kill the Chicago Bulls. Bulls in six. Thank you, Chuck. Thank you, Chuck. Number two, Cody rising up. They didn't change the presentation at all, which I loved. It was Cody. It was Cody who he is now, coming home and coming back. And, you know, I completely love the story. I'm all bought into the story of Cody coming home to win the belt that no Rhodes has ever won. I think the highest anyone's gotten is, you know, both him and Dustin with the IC. I don't think Dusty ever won a belt in the Federation.
No, he did not.
You know, he's got some NWA straps. The WCW one's cool, fine, whatever. US title, cool, fine, whatever. You know, Rhodes never won. And, you know, everyone knows the story of the Rhodes family and the McMahons. And that's an incredible story to play and continue and the continuation off of is that now you have this younger Rhodes who had the nerve, just like his father, to challenge the McMahons. And you want to run the ship. So they're going to tell an amazing story when Cody finally does win that belt, and he will. I think it'd be fucking criminal if he doesn't. If he came back and they just played him like usual, because there's so much money in Cody winning this belt and the chase, not even him just winning, but the chase for him winning the belt is going to be so money. You know, if they do this right, then Cody coming back and Cody winning the belt might be the best story told in wrestling in God knows how long.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm really excited. You know, I thought he looked good here, and he's facing Miz later today, so that should be fun. And you know, go
speaking,
from there.
Speaking of Miz, you noted camera work. I think one of the better shots that they had were
when he peeped Logan Paul's face.
He just glared at him, and then boom.
Yeah, that was a nice one.
Small note on that match. Popped like crazy for Ray and Dom doing the jump from underneath the stage.
Yeah, I popped for that. I popped when I noticed that they were doing Eddie and Art Barr. Mm-hmm. That was pretty cool.
Eddie, I mean, speaking of Eddie, Dom came out in a Eddie Guerrero cosplay with his outfit.
His was Eddie's and Ray did Art Barr because he is Eddie Guerrero's son. But you know, back to Cody and Seth. I was obviously a good match again. I was, you know, bothered with the rest holds early, but they made up for it later. But again, kudos to Seth, because you talk about the patience, and you know, he and Kevin Owens had to work matches with themselves. You know, we saw the Invisible Man at JoJo Spring Break 2. If you've never seen a match involving the Invisible Man, then I'm sorry for you. It is pure entertainment. But that's essentially what they had to do, was go out there and work promos and sell this match with an Invisible Man. And in the case of Seth, truly an Invisible Man, because until it's announced, Cody's not in the Federation. But, you know, Seth had to go in and really sell you on him making a WrestleMania moment, and this being a WrestleMania moment. And going in there and having Cody Rhodes return match in WWE, and it being a really good match, is a WrestleMania moment for him. And, like, for me, it doesn't matter if Seth, and I've kind of done the math. Seth won his first two WrestleMania matches, then he loses to Orton. Oh, great, no biggie. I'm just going to cash in Money in the Bank this night and win. He was hurt in 2016. He won the next three WrestleManias. Now, he has lost the last three WrestleManias. For me, I don't give a fuck if Seth wins or loses, because I know one thing. He's going to put on a show, and he's going to entertain, and whatever he's going to do is going to be something you need to watch. And you know, we really need to start giving credit to Seth Rollins. If Roman Reigns is the biggest star in pro wrestling, Seth Rollins is the best wrestler in the world. Period.
Yeah.
He does a great job. I mean, like you said, I think a friend of mine also had said that KO and Seth deserve a lot of credit for how their builds were for their matches. Because like you said, they were feuding with invisible people who weren't there. And I think that it's a testament to both, that they were both able to pull off great builds and then also pay it off in the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's always, everything is always part of the process. So definite shouts out to them. Rollins, I mean, he's had so many great matches in Mania, a lot of great moments. Same thing with him at SummerSlam, the same way. So, yeah, I mean, he's fantastic. I will never get over waxing poetic. He's great.
Mm-hmm. And I love the... I love, you know, this was a match for callbacks. Cody doing the Stardust at the beginning was just like, yeah, I forgot who said it. It might have been Cody, but he called it shedding skin, kind of, yeah. Which I really liked. But, you know, it's a nice little play there. The pedigree teases were really fun. I think he had turned it into a front lock powerbomb.
Yeah.
And Seth wound up doing an actual pedigree. So the pedigree things were cool. What I think for a lot of people, and they might not even know, is like, yeah, that's his favorite wrestler, is Triple H. So, like, the throne and all that shit, like, he did it because Cody gets pro wrestling. Cody's did to be a dick, of course, but being a dick was going to get people talking and was going to, because it's a pro wrestling thing to do. It's a total pro wrestling thing to do. But yeah, he fucking admires the hell out of Triple H. By the way, Triple H might have been 5 on that pop list because that was completely out of nowhere when he came out and left his boots in the ring. You know, so yeah, to do those callbacks, that was really fun. And then obviously the nod to Dusty at the end before you get the third Crossroads. That was a really good match. If I was to say, that might have been my second favorite. After Bianca Becky. Oh, sorry. After Stone Cold KO and then after Becky, after Bianca Becky. That might have been my third favorite match, which is why Saturday for me is so much better than Sunday because the work rate of the matches were so much better.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense. I can definitely agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But overall, like we said kind of at the beginning, just a really strong couple nights of shows for them. It's nice to see, you know, that they can still kind of do something like this. Like, do I think Raw and SmackDown really capitalized on the momentum this week? No, not really.
SmackDown did more so than Raw.
Yeah, think,
because it introduced new faces.
Yeah, and I think also what was evident for me with Raw was two things, and for the whole weekend, really. Number one, the smarky Raw after Mania crowds are definitely a thing of the past.
Oh, thank God.
They're not happening anymore.
Yeah.
I think everybody, honestly, was way too tired to be doing anything like that. And number two, so really the Raw after Mania now is more just an epilogue. It's just going to be a little bit of trickle down from everything else. And then I think the first SmackDown after Mania is where things are going to get juiced up a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, because we saw new faces, some good matches. Overall, I think SmackDown was a really entertaining show. Raw was a little lacking, but again, I think that show was just rooted in a lot of exhaustion. So tonight's Raw will be interesting to see, I think, as everything resets itself.
Yeah, that's fair.
But yeah, I do agree that I think, you know, Raw didn't really capitalize on the ball rolling. However, I think SmackDown, of all the shows this week, Dynamite, NXT, Raw, I think SmackDown, for me, was the most enjoyable. And I think that's saying something because SmackDown has been just like a show that's existed the last 3 months.
Yeah, that's fair.
I am at Cameron Santo. Rob's at RobinNear31. Chris is at Chris M. Novak. They'll have the follow-up to this episode coming up later on in the week, so be on the lookout for that. At BarbersChairNet on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook.com/BarbersChairDigital. Patreon.com/BarbersChairNetwork. We will have a... We're going to do it in seasons. The top 25. So everything up until after WrestleMania, we'll do for the first quarter, I guess.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah, that'll be our first quarter ranking for the top 25. So you'll hear that within the next few weeks. Be on the lookout for that as well. New 2020 will commence pretty soon because we have baseball finally, real baseball. I get to go to a baseball game today. I'm so excited. Can't wait for dogs and Bryce Harper home runs. And also the Lakers are not in the playoffs, so it gives me very much joy. Oh, what a wonderful time we live in today. Thanks for joining us on this WrestleMania recap of Ruthless Aggression. For Rob and Chris, I am Pierce. See those two later on this week, but I will see you next week when we gather for some more wrestling right here on Ruthless Aggression.